Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Garabit, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, one of the things is we're going to hear some things that are going to really astonish us. It's nothing to be frightened by, but we're going to see why the praying in the divine will is so important today, more than ever. The more that we pray in the divine will, and what does that mean? We say, take my prayer, Jesus, and make it your command. The more everything that's happening in the world will be under God's control. Everything. So when you hear things that might frighten you, might disquiet you, what you have to do is say, fiat. Okay, Lord, you're in charge. You know what's going on. And you need my prayer because it's his prayer. He wants to hear his prayer from his children. So the more that we pray in the divine will, especially the command prayer, everything is going to work out. So don't worry about what you hear. There'll be many things that you're going to hear and see. But Jesus has called us to live at this time, to be able to be the Lord of this situation by the little children, the Holy Divine Will, praying the command prayer. Okay, so trust that. So we're continuing with volume 12, Force 26, 1921. Exiled by his own children, while these fight, wound each other, and are about to perish from such starvation. This is what Jesus is saying is happening today. The Father is toiling in order to acquire new riches, new gifts, and new remedies for his children. Okay, you're going to hear some things that are going to be very tough to hear. But Jesus says he is working, the Father is working, toiling to acquire new riches, new gifts, and new remedies for us, the little children, the Holy Divine Will. And when he sees them almost lost, he goes in their midst to make them richer, and he offers remedies for their wounds, and he brings peace, happiness to everyone. So now, conquered by so much love, these children shall bind themselves back to their Father with lasting peace and shall love him. And then Jesus says this, this is great. And so it shall happen with me, Jesus, the Father of the age to come. Jesus is bringing this about. His kingdom, he's bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He needs his little children to start working in a more powerful way, more powerfully than the saints. This is what he has planned. And this is why he gives us the book of heaven. Volume 17, 720, 1921. The strength that water contains is such and so great that if it had free field to go out from the bounds of its sea, it would devastate and terrify the entire earth. Water is powerful. Powerful. My divine will is more than water. It is true that in certain points, epochs, and circumstances, it is though imbounded, but with such extensive seas and rivers and wells, but there is not one thing, from the greatest to the smallest, in which my most holy divine will does not run and does not hold its primary place. But as though hidden, just as water is hidden in the earth, such that although it does not appear, it is the one that makes the plants vegetate and gives life to the roots. So Jesus is saying, even though we don't see the divine will yet, we're going to see it. We're going to experience it. He says, everything takes life from the divine will. Now, since my divine will alone is left to you, and you are like water that holds the primary place over all goods of God, and all things of God, both in heaven and on earth, and when my divine volition shall come out of its bounds, see, what's coming? We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is so glorious, is so magnificent, is so mind-boggling that when we see this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what is no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is going to do for those who love him. He says, so your human will is going to disappear in my most holy divine will. What does that mean? Your human misery, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin is going to disappear. God's going to do this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. St. Louis de Montfort says, in the last days, they'll be the greatest saints of the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. This is what's coming. He says, your human will shall disappear within mine and shall have its primacy. That means everything that is to be alive in us is going to be the will of God. We're going to go back into the order, into the power that God has originally given to Adam. And so he says, what more do you want? What more do you want than going back to our origin, image and likeness of God? That's what's coming. And how is this going to happen? The how and the why is in the book of heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, a new beginning happens for us. Volume 13, 9:2, 19:21. My daughter, what is this? Would you want to withdraw from my most holy divine will? Too late. After you have bound yourself to my divine will, in order to keep you safer, has bounded to you. We are bound to God with a double chain to its own. You have lived as a queen in my divine will. You have accustomed yourself to living in the most delicate and nourishing foods, dominating by no one, but dominator of everything, even of yourself. This is what God has planned. He breathed into the dust his image and likeness. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. What was the DNA of Adam? Image and likeness of God. What does our DNA now say? We get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That's not part of God's plan. It was never part of God's plan. But because of the fall, yes, this had to happen. Sin begets sin. Now Jesus is saying, I have redeemed you with my mother. She co-redeemed with me. We are the new Adam and the new Eve for all of mankind. Then Jesus says, now I'm going to sanctify you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. God is in charge. And all that he's asking of us is to let him be in charge. So he says very, very clearly, you have accustomed yourself to living in my most delicate and nourishing foods, dominated by no one, but you become the dominator of everything, even of yourself. Your passions disappear. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your doubts, your sin slowly disappear from you. The more that you can live in your fiat, the more that you can begin to live this abundant life. So he says this, volume 12, 9, 6, 19, 21. You must know. This is a command from Jesus Christ. Read the You Must Know book. You must know, Jesus says, that every time I, Jesus, manifest to you one more truth about my divine will in the book of heaven, it is one more nuptial that I, God, form between you and me and with the whole of human family. Again, the kingdom of God, heaven, is the wedding feast, celebration of all eternity between God and man, becoming one with God, fused with God. And he says, I want you to begin this now. How? With your fiat. When you say yes to God, let it be done as you wish, as you want. It is the greater union. It is the tighter bond. It is sharing my divine inheritances as I, God, manifest them to you, Louisa, in the book of heaven. As we read the book of heaven and understand these truths, learn these truths, I form the deed of donation. He signs, he gives his signature to it. And in seeing my children richer and sharing in the divine inheritances, I, God, feel the need, the new contentments, and I make feast. I make the wedding plans be fulfilled. I make the celebration continue. What is heaven? It's to be one with God, fused with God in his most holy divine will. And Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this life now before you die. I want you to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, not with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. He says, those people are anticipating hell. I want you, Jesus says, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, which is to anticipate heaven, to begin to live heaven on earth. It happens to me as to a father who possesses many properties, but these properties are unknown to his children. And so they do not know that they are children of a father so rich. Now, as the children become of age, day by day, the father keeps telling them that he possesses such and such a farm. And in hearing this, the children make feast and draw closer with a greater bond of love around the father. In seeing the feast of the children, the father makes a feast and prepares for them another greater surprise. He says to them, such and such providence is mine. And then, since such and such a kingdom is mine, the children remain enchanted. Not only do they make feasts, but they consider themselves fortunate to be children of such a father. But the father not only makes his possessions known to his children, but he constitutes them heirs of all of his goods. That's what God is doing. Look at the sacraments and sacramentals of the church. This is our medicine, Jesus says. But now with the sacrament of sacraments, this great gift of the divine will, I'm going to heal my children divinely, restore them to their original purpose and place for which they belong, to clothe them with divinity, to ennoble them with divine, a noble character, divine clothes. This is what Adam lost. Adam was clothed in divinity. So what does the priest say every day at Holy Mass? Putting the drop of water. We are that drop. We are that nothing. Hitting that wine, fusing and diffusing and becoming wine. The priest says, may we share again in this divinity. As Jesus humbled himself to share in our humanity, he's restoring us to where we were before the fall. What a great God we have. And he's offering this to us. And he says, do you want to know how much I'm doing this for you? Read, I'll tell you. Study, I'll let you learn this. He said, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you will understand this. And I will touch your heart so that you will love it. Up until now, Jesus says, I, God, have made known what my holy humanity did, its virtues, its pains, in order to constitute the human family as heirs of the goods of my holy humanity. Now, I, God, want to move beyond. I, God, want to make known to the children what my divine will did, what my holy humanity did in order to constitute now the new generation of the heirs of my divine will. So we've had the Gospels telling us about the holy humanity of Christ, what Jesus did. He says, now I'm going to give you the gospel of the kingdom. Why would Jesus use the gospel of the kingdom to Louisa? Why would he say, this is what the book of heaven is? Well, if you read the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 24, he says that the kingdom can't come until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. Look at the condition of the church. Look at the nativity scene in the Vatican. Jesus says, I'm going to bring my kingdom now. Now this is coming. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. It's nothing to complain about. It's nothing to be negative about. Read, study, put into practice what Jesus says. He says, I want the new generations as heirs of my divine will. I want the new generation to have the effects of the divine will. I want the new generations to have the value the divine will contains. Therefore, he says, be attentive. And to me, that means read, study this. Put this into practice. Be attentive and listening to me. That means be attentive to hearing me as you read. I will touch your heart, your mind, your souls. This is what Jesus promises. And as you read this, nothing can compare to this. Like I said before, I've read John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena. Beautiful, beautiful. But they can't compare to the Book of Heaven. Why? The saints were teaching us how to do the will of God. What Jesus has taught Louisa is how to live in the will of God, which is infinitely beyond doing. It's living, one with the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Therefore, he says, be attentive and listening to me in reading. And do not lose anything of the effects and the value of this divine will of mine, so that you may be a faithful realtor of the goods, the first bond of union in with my holy divine will, of communication with all the other creatures. See, as we read this, your family is changing. As we study this, your community is changing. As we begin to read this and begin to possess it, the church is going to be magnified. Why? Jesus is doing this in each and every soul. He's not just doing the will of God of the saints, but now he's giving the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve to the little children of the holy divine will. This is what he has planned. And he's asking us, we're nobodies, we're nothings. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. My daughter, volume 13, 10, 29, 19, 21. My daughter, the enemies left me alone in prison, horribly bound in the dark. Everything around me was thick darkness, and all this darkness affected me. My clothes were wet from the filthy waters of the stream, the stream that was east of the mount. I could smell the stench of the prison and of the spit in which I was smeared. My hair was disheveled without pity in hand. And who would move me away from my eyes and my mouth? My hands were bound by chains. The darkness did not allow me to see my state. Ah, alas, too painful and humiliating. Oh, how many things did my state so painful tell of this prison? Oh, how my heart breathed in being able to see my state so painful. But this signified that when man, being tired of the night of sin, being tired of the world, the flesh, and the devil, grace, like dawn, draws around him. See, God is going to free us from the sin of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to again live the true life of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what's coming. Sending him glimmers of light to call him back. So my sacred heart heaved sighs of relief. In this dawn, I saw you, my beloved prisoner. That's Louisa and the little children of the holy divine will who are linked to Louisa, whom my love was to bind in this state, who would not leave me alone in the darkness of this prison. This is what we're doing when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're saying to Jesus, I don't want to leave you alone in the darkness of this prison of the tabernacle. I want to be with you. This is what it means to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Waiting for the dawn at my feet, following my sighs, you would cry with me over the night, the sin of mankind. This relieved me, and I offered my imprisonment to give you, us, linked to Louisa, the little children of the holy divine will, the grace to follow Jesus. We're one with him. We're fused with him. We're bound with him. How many times the human ingratitude leaves me in darkness without even the miserable light of a lamp? That's what happens in a number of churches. The Eucharistic lamp goes out. So my imprisonment lasts and shall still last. And since both of us are prisoners, you, Louisa, a prisoner in your bed, not for love of me, only for love of me. And I, a prisoner for you, with my love, I want to bind all creatures with the chains that kept me bound. And we, you, Louisa, and I, and now us linked to Louisa, shall keep each other company. John Paul II asked in the 80s that every church have Eucharistic adoration. And he wasn't just saying for an hour a week. Eucharistic adoration, like at the Vatican that he started in the side chapel there as you walk into the Vatican. Who can find a church where the Eucharistic adoration is? Thank God for the internet, because the churches don't have it. We can bring Jesus into our homes, watching Jesus on the internet, adoring Jesus on the internet as if we were in church. To see how God works. It's happening. What John Paul II said, Pope St. John Paul II said, is happening. He says, "We shall keep each other company. You shall help me to extend these chains to bind all hearts to my divine love." See, we take the place of everybody. When the church says this already, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. Now let's begin to pray the way Jesus taught Louisa, bringing everyone to the throne of God. Again, when you learn the command prayer, when you learn how beautiful this is, and then people say, "Where's the command prayer?" Well, I think it was in August of 2012. There is a document on the command prayer, what Jesus said to Louisa all throughout the writings. And if you want, you can go to divinewill.org or divinewill.life, and they're yours. You can read as much as you want or as little as you want. I think there's 700 hours of listening to Jesus speak to us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. It's free. See, this is the gift of gifts. Jesus says, "What you receive as a gift, give as a gift." And all the documents are on the internet for free. Just download them. They're yours. Jesus wants us to live this. So he says this. He says in volume 13, 11, 4, 1921, "Among ourselves, the three divine persons, we, triune God, had no need to speak in order to understand one another. In creation, I, Jesus, wanted to use the word fiat, fiat lux, let there be light. And all things were made. The whole universe was made. For whom? For us, to prepare the universe for man. But to this fiat, I, God, bound and gave the power that the creatures might have the word in order to understand one another." So Jesus speaks to us, and we repeat what he says to understand each other. We have to be of one mind, one heart, one faith. That's what God is asking for. And when we listen to Jesus, you know, and this is one of the reasons, I like the calendar. Everybody is reading the same words of Jesus every day, the same words to us. And what happens is we begin to be joy-filled, peaceful, and happy. So the human voices are bound as by electric wire to my first word, and from which all others descend, from fiat to everything that's said. So Jesus said, "Fiat lux." Our Lady said, "Fiat mihi." And now Jesus says to Louisa, "I want you to learn fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign in this earth, on this earth, in this earth, as the saints live in heaven." Exactly the same way, so that there'll be no difference between heaven and earth. This is what's coming. The evil one is going to be dismissed. He's been bound. He's been banished from heaven. He is going to be banished from earth. As the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, we begin to live a life of no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. We wait for that day. But Jesus says, begin to live it. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. That's to live the life that Adam had before the fall. It's to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Again, great things are in store. Volume 13, 11, 16, 1921. This morning, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen all bound. Bound were his hands, bound were his feet, bound were his waist. A thick iron chains came from down around his neck, but he was bound so tightly that his divine person was deprived of motion. What a harsh position, such as to make even the stones cry. And my highest good Jesus told me, my daughter, during the course of my passion, all the other pains competed among themselves, but they would not alternate. One would give place to another. The ropes, they never removed from me. From the moment I was taken up to Mount Calvary, I remained always bound in these ropes. Rather, they kept adding more and more ropes, chains, for fears that I might escape. And to make more fun of me, they tied him up like an animal. But how many pains, confusions, humiliations, falls did these chains produce for me? However, know that these chains, there was a great mystery, a great expiation. Man, as he begins to fall into sin, remains bound and with chains of his own sin. If it is grave, they are iron chains. If venial, they are chains of rope. So he tries to walk in good. He feels the hindrance of the chains, and his steps remain hidden, hindered. The hidden hindrance that he feels wears him out, debilitates him, and leads him into new falls into sin. If he operates, he feels the hindrance in his hands and remains almost as if he had no hands to do anything good. He sees him bound like this. Passions make feast. Passions say, victory is ours. And from king, who God called him to be, as he is, they render him slave of beautiful, brutal passions. How abominable man is in the state of sin. How ugly, how horrid. And I, in order to break his chains, wanted to be bound and never wanted to be without chains, so as to keep my chains ever ready to break his. When he blows and he shoves and he makes me fall, I stretch my hands to him to untie him and render him free again. That's the passion of the Christ. As he was saying this, I almost saw all people bound by chains so as to arouse pity. And I prayed to Jesus to touch their chains with his chains so that at the touch of Jesus's chains, those of the creatures would be all shattered. That's what's happening. That's what's happening right now. God is breaking our chains free. He's saying, I took on your slavery. I took on your crucifixion. I took on your death. You don't have to go through this anymore. And he says, give your fiat and watch me work in you like I've never worked in you before. Give me your fiat and watch your passions just dissolve. Watch what I will do. That's what Jesus is promising, Louisa. And he promises this to us. There is no peace without me, Jesus says. This is volume 13, 12, 18, 19, 21. There is no peace without me, Jesus. I alone possess peace. I give peace to my children as to the legitimate children of mine who remain bound as heirs of all of my divine qualities, divine goods. That's what Jesus is promising. You want to be free? Free of your addictions? Free of your misery? Free of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin? Jesus says, come to me. I'll take care of it. He promises us this. Our response is fiat. Let it be done as you wish. It's all we have to do. God will do everything else. He says this. He promises this to Louisa. Volume 13, 12, 18, 19, 21. There is no peace without me. I alone possess it and I give it to my children as to legitimate children of mine who remain bound as heirs of all my divine. Volume 13, 12, 7, 27, 19, 21. My daughter, every time the soul enters into my divine will, she comes to reflect herself in the mirror of my divinity. That's what Scripture says. We don't, what we are now as children of God, what we are going to become, we do not know. But when we see him, we will become like him. That's a divine mirror. That's what Jesus is promising us. And in reflecting herself in God, she receives the divine features, and these features bind her to the divinity. Like I said before, the thing I read back in 1976 was to look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. You see what God is calling us to? A sharing in his divinity. So the first volumes, volume 1 through volume 10, is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's why volume 1 through volume 10 is so necessary to read and study and put into practice. Divine 11 through volume 19 is how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. The saints weren't given this, because this is what Jesus gave to Louisa. And then third, from 20 through 36, volume 20 through 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This only came out in 1996. This is for us. It wasn't given to St. Honorable de Francia. He never read volume 20 through volume 36. He died before that. It was saved for us. God has great plans. So Jesus says, and the divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, finding in the soul their own facial recognition, recognize this soul as one from their family. They resemble God. They give her a place in their midst of the Holy Trinity while they're on earth. And they admit her into their divine secrets. And recognizing their own divine will in this soul. That hopefully that's us. It happened with Louisa. And Jesus says, I want this to happen to you if you want it. If you can say fiat. As the center of their life, they recognize their own divine will in the souls, hopefully the little children of the holy divine will, as the center of their life. And they admit Louisa and us into God's divine secrets. What is the divine secrets of God? It's entering into the love of God. And recognizing their own will, the center of her life, they admit her into that eternal point and enrich the soul with all that eternity contains. Not a bit of eternity, but all of eternity. That's why Jesus says, dive into this infinite ocean and drown. I never want you to leave. I want to admit you and enrich you in the eternal point of all that eternity contains. You're that drop of nothing entering into the infinite ocean of love. We have to begin this now. That's what Jesus is asking. Volume 13, 1:3, 19:22, daughter of my volition, come into my divine will that you may know the relations that exist between the divine will and the human will, and that the creature shattered even from the terrestrial Eden. Adam shattered this relation between God and man by doing his human will. The soul who knows no other life but the life of my divine will rebuilds this relation, binds this relation again, returns to it all the relations of the creature Adam had broken, the relations of creation and the origin of existence. See, we haven't seen anything yet. Creation has to be fulfilled. And this is done by the souls living in the divine will. Redemption has to be fulfilled. And it's with the souls who are living in the divine will. Why? Because we're going to enter into sanctification. This is what God wants for us at this time. That's why everything's falling apart. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at your neighbors. Look at your co-workers. Look at your parishioners. And it's not to judge them. It's to say everything is falling apart. Look at your nation. Look at the church. What is Jesus doing? He's saying, get ready. The kingdom is coming. I'm closing this door to open the door to the kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. It's not to go back to the 50s. We never go back. We always move forward. And Jesus is saying, watch what I'm going to do with the souls that can give their fiat. Like my mother, like I did, Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done, Father. Watch what God is doing. These were bonds of union between God and man, between creator and creature, relations of likeness, relations of sanctity, relations of science, relations of power. Everything I contained, I, God, placed in relation with Adam. Adam lost everything. Relations in the order of all created things, and to him, Adam, I gave primacy over everything, and he lost it by doing his human will. And Jesus says, now you have been redeemed. Now I want to sanctify you. So I'm giving you the sacrament of sacraments to help you get through this, this great gift of the divine will. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, a new beginning happens for mankind. It's really not new at all. It's the life that Adam had before the fall, image and likeness of God. That's what's coming. Volume 14, 3, 18, 19, 22. The first pain I, God, wanted to suffer in the passion was the chains. I, Jesus, wanted to be bound in order to release mankind from his chains. Those chains that I, Jesus, suffered, as soon as they touched me, turned into chains of love that in touching man burned up and snapped his chains, his sins, and bound him with my loving chains. We're bound to Jesus. Begin to pray for this, that we can experience this. Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. He's explaining to us what he is doing with his chains of love. And we have to say to Jesus, it's not something to read. Jesus is talking to us and he wants to hear from us what we want. When we read this, yes, Lord, touch me, burn up and snap my chains. Bind me with your loving chains, Lord. I want this. I plead for this. I know you're going to answer my prayer. Volume 14, 5, 19, 19, 22. Dearest daughter, my divine will, I, Jesus, want to renew the bond of the great gift of making you, Louisa, and now the little children of the holy divine will, live in my most holy divine will. This is why I wanted here present as representative, Mary, my dear mother, the bishop who took in your direction when he was on earth, your parents, so that you may remain more confirmed in my divine will and may receive all the currents of all the goods that my divine will contains, so that they too may be the first to receive the glory of the operating of living in my divine will. So what does Jesus do? Brings Louisa in eternity. Who's there? The Blessed Mother. Jesus is there. The Blessed Mother is there. The bishop, who was under the direction of Louisa, her parents, everyone, he says, so that they can begin to live this. He says very, very clearly, so that you may remain more confirmed in my divine will and receive all the currents and all the goods that my divine will contains, so that they, see, in eternity, may be the first to receive the glory of the operating of the living in my divine will from you, Louisa, and for the little children, the holy divine will linked to you, Louisa. See, this is to Louisa. This is about Louisa. This is Jesus saying what he is doing. And he says, I want you who are reading this to also participate in this. Our response should be fiat. Yes, Lord, I want this as well. Because Jesus says, I've planned for you to live at this time, you who must live in my divine will. I pray that at Mass every day for all the little children of the holy divine will who must live in the divine will. This is what God has planned from the beginning of time. So that, linked to Louisa, the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. The devil is going to be gone on all his people that work with him. The kingdom is going to be established. Volume 14, 7:24, 1922. Continuing my usual state, my always lovable Jesus came with an enchanting majesty and love. See, Louisa was in the beatific vision. This is not a locution. It's not an apparition. It's not a vision. The church will talk about this at a later time. Jesus came, my lovable, always lovable Jesus, came with an enchanting majesty, divine love, and he showed me all human generations from the first Adam to the last man. And each of them was bound and tied together. And my sweet Jesus saying, well, he was tying with such that it seemed to multiply for each creature. This tying was such that it seemed to multiply for each creature in such a way that each one had Jesus for himself alone. You know what that means? Jesus came to earth to find his bride. He's going to marry the church, the bride of Christ. Collectively, we're all going to be married one with Christ. But what Louisa says here, what Jesus shows Louisa, is each soul is going to have their, it's going to be like their own personal Jesus that no one else will know. The intimacy between God and man is so planned by God that it's going to be as if each person had their own Jesus for himself alone. You're going to know Jesus in a way that no one else can know Jesus. You can love Jesus in a way that no other human can love Jesus. Your uniqueness is so important to Jesus Christ that this is why we wear the ring. We say, every time we look at the ring, we say, you are my spouse. I accept your proposal. I want to be married to you. Jesus says, in such a way that each one had Jesus for himself alone, and Jesus gave that life to suffer any pain and any death that each one would have to suffer. He already went through this life of ours already. He's already gone through it all. When we have suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, it's fiat Jesus. Let it be done as you say, Jesus, as you want, Jesus, as you wish, Jesus. So be able to say to the celestial Father, Father, each creature you shall have as many of myself, the two become one, who shall give you, Heavenly Father, for each one what each one owes you. And that's divine, I love you. Divine, I praise you. Divine, I glorify you. I worship you. This is why we want Jesus alive in us. He's doing it. While I was seeing this, my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, do you also want to accept the bond with each being so that there may be no dissimilarity between you and me? This is Louisa. One with Jesus, one with Mary. The three that suffered the most. And he says to Louisa, do you want to give your fiat to accept the bond with each soul, past, present, and future, so that there be no dissimilarity between you and me? And she says, fiat. My daughter, volume 14, 7:28, 1922. My daughter, identify your intelligence with mine. Okay, so our intellect has to be surrendered to God. We have to see things from a divine perspective so that yours may circulate in all the intelligences of all creatures, past, present, and future. Why? To receive the bond of each of their thoughts in order to substitute them with as many other thoughts done in my most holy divine will. And I, God, may receive the glory as if everyone, all their thoughts were done in a divine manner. Expand your free will in mine. That's what Jesus says to us. Expand your free will within my holy divine will. This is not your human will. It's your free will. Nothing must escape you that is not caught in the net of your free will and mind. So that's what God is asking. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life that Jesus possesses and Mary possesses, that they've given to Louisa. And now linked to Louisa, we also can participate in this. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.